بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I don't want to make this a recurring announcement inshallah Jabi already knows Can you guys come forward inshallah Fill in all this gap here If you don't need the walls come forward inshallah Fill in the gaps in the masjid. Come close towards the mihfil. There's more nur, there's more light as you get closer towards the mihfil, inshallah. Now, inshallah, to begin the gathering of the mawlid of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we begin, as always, with kalamullah, with the noble words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday, we had a student of the madrasa. Today, we will also have another student of the madrasa, inshallah. For this, I'd like to call Ahmad Raza.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمهون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناه فهم لا يبصرون وسواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين صدق الله العظيم
ما شاء الله Beautifully recited, I think the first ruku of Surah Yasin, mashallah. Again, this is our future, this is our upcoming generation, that at a young, tender age, they've already memorized parts of the Quran, parts of Surah Yasin, parts of Juz' Amma. Mashallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase them in their hifz, to increase them in their recitation of the Quran, and to allow them to act upon the Quran as well. Now, inshallah, to further the gathering, we will have a recitation of Na'at of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for this, I would like to call Bulbul e Mashriq Quba, Haji Jabir, inshallah.
Bismillah. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله کون شہر مکہ میں صبح صبح آیا ہے, جس کے نور سے عالم سارا جگمگایا ہے, اور غیب سے ندا آئی آمینہ مبارک ہو, تو نے رحمت حق سے نور حق کا پایا ہے, اور یا نبی میں تم پر کیوں یا نبی میں تم پر کیوں نہ جانو دل فدا کر دوں, ہم نے آپ کو پا کر تو خدا کو پایا ہے, اور یا نبی یا نبی چلے آؤ انتظار کرتے ہیں آپ کے غلاموں نے یہ بزم کو سجایا ہے, آپ کے غلاموں نے یہ میلاد سجایا ہے, پر یہ ایک ہی آواز میں صلی اللہ علیک یا رسول اللہ, unfortunately my Urdu is not the greatest, so I'm going to say this in English. We are lucky, very lucky, that we have enough life to celebrate, commemorate the Prophet's, why are we here, the Prophet's birth. Yeah, so inshallah Masjid Quba has always blessed us for celebrating 12 days, all the 12 days up until 12th of Rabiul Awal. But I'd say not only Masjid Quba, all around the world, everywhere there is Sunni, Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, everyone is saying the same thing. What are they saying, Imam Sahib? Arif Bhai? چاروں طرف نور چھایا کا میلاد آیا چاروں طرف نور چھایا کا میلاد آیا چاروں طرف نور چھایا کا میلاد آیا خوشیوں کا پیغام لایا آقا کا میلاد آیا, خوشیوں کا پیغام لایا آقا کا میلاد آیا, اللہ اور گھر کو سجاتے ہیں وہی ہے وہی جھنڈے لہراتے ہیں وہی ہے وہی گھر کو سجاتے ہیں وہی ہے وہی جھنڈے لہراتے ہیں وہی ہے وہی خوشیاں مناتے ہیں وہی ہے وہی دھوم مچاتے ہیں وہی جن پر ہوا ان کا سایہ کا میلاد آیا, جن پر ہوا ان کا سایہ آقا کا میلاد آیا, اللہ
Allah, aur shamsho kamar aur tare tare kyun na ho khush aaj sare sare shamsho kamar aur tare tare kyun na ho khush aaj sare unse hi to noor paya paya aaka ka milad آیا unse hi to noor paya paya aqa ka milad aaya allah 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 allah
اور جس کو شجر جانتے ہیں
جانتے ہیں
کہنا حجر مانتے ہیں مانتے ہیں جس کو شجر جانتے ہیں جانتے ہیں کہنا حجر مانتے ہیں ایسا نبی ہم نے پایا پایا آقا کا میلاد آیا ایسا نبی ہم نے پایا پایا آقا کا میلاد آیا اللہ 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 اللہ
اللہ اللہ
اور غوث الورا اور داتا نے میرے رضا اور خواجان غوث الورا غوث الورا غوث الورا اور داتا نے میرے رضا اور خواجان سب نے ہی دن یہ منایا منایا آقا کا میلاد آیا سب نے ہی دن یہ منایا منایا آقا کا میلاد آیا اللہ 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 اللہ
اللہ
اور جو آج محفل میں آئے آئے من کی مرادیں ہو پائے سب پر کرم ہو خدایا خدایا آقا کا میلاد آیا سب پر کرم ہو خدایا خدایا آقا کا میلاد آیا اللہ 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 اللہ
اللہ
اللہ اہلا وسہلا مرحبا یا رسول اللہ اہلا وسہلا مرحبا یا حبیب اللہ اہلا وسہلا مرحبا یا نبی اللہ اہلا وسہلا مرحبا یا نور اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم
ما شاء الله
very beautifully recited by our dear Jabir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long life, a life of praising the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and allow us to continue to listen to him, inshallah. Now, without any delay, we pass the mic on to our speaker today, Maulana Muhammad Sahib Rashid, inshallah, will be delivering a talk on a very important point, a very important part of our iman, our belief about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning regarding his ilmul ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I'd like to call Maulana Muhammad Sahib Rashid.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين من كان نبيا وآدم بين الماء والطين من كان نبيا وآدم بين الروح والجسد سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا إلا من ارتضى من رسول صدق الله العظيم ببركة إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا سيدي يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا نور الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا سيدي يا رحمة للعالمين الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا خاتم النبيين وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا سيدي يا عالم ما كان وما يكون. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is most deserving of all praise unrestrictedly, unlimitedly, and sending salutations upon the best of creation, the most noble of mankind, the great individual, the greatest of individuals, the great individual who was a prophet whilst Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was still between water and earth. While Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was still between ruh, between soul, and between jasad, between body, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the seal of all prophets, the final flower to blossom in the beautiful garden of prophethood. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. The brother who recited the Nat earlier on, he got us all smiling, and we should continue smiling because we're celebrating the Milad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, everyone in this room should be smiling, and we know, you know, I know, I understand many of us may have difficult day-to-day lives, we may have difficulties going on, we may have things going on in our minds, I'm the same as well. But let's just put everything to the side for a moment and think about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just smile. The Salihin, the Ulama, they mention بِذِكْرِ الصَّالِحِينَ تَتَنَزَّلُ الرَّحْمَةِ, that with the mention of the pious, mercy descends. And there is no question, there is no doubt that the most pious individual to ever walk on the face of this earth is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should all be smiling and we should all be celebrating. There's no reason for us to be frowning right now, inshallah. The topic which I have been given to speak about, the ilmul ghayb of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a topic which is of utmost importance. This is a topic which is from the daruriyatuddin, the absolute fundamental necessities for a Muslim to believe in. But before I delve into that, I want to just touch upon the importance of aqeedah as a subject, because this is something which is obscured nowadays, this is something which is watered down, this is something which isn't given the correct due right which it deserves. Now, the importance of aqeedah is such that if an individual was to hold all of the correct beliefs which Islam requires him to believe in, He believes in all of the daruriyatul deen, the necessities of the religion, everything which is fardi i'tiqadi, obligatory to believe in. All of his aqaid are in line with the aqaid of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But let's say one aqidah of his is incorrect, which goes against the fundamentals of the religion. That individual, if he dies in such a state, he will not be able to attain salvation in the afterlife. Even though it's just one belief. Just one belief. This is the importance of aqidah. And we know from the plethora of verses in the Quran and from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, that salvation in the afterlife is only for those who die as believers. There is no salvation for those who die upon other faiths, other religions, or who die without a religion. So, ilm al-ghayb is such a matter which is from the necessities of Islam. And I would like to touch on what our aqaid are in relation to ilm al-ghayb. Because a lot of the time, the aqidah which we hold regarding ilm al-ghayb is misconstrued, is misrepresented, and we get accused of being labeled as mushrikeen, those who do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After explaining aqaid, inshallah, I will go into some logical reasons behind why it makes sense to believe in ilm al-ghayb. Then I will, inshallah, delve into some of the verses of the Quran and many ahadith, inshallah, and some of the sayings of the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, which prove that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ilm al-ghayb. But not only prove, inshallah, I'm not just here to prove ilm al-ghayb, because I know everyone sitting here, you know, sub-mate ilm al-ghayb, everyone believes in ilm al-ghayb over here. So inshallah, we're going to talk about the wus'a, the vastness of the ilm al-ghayb of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Allah Hazrat mentions in his kitab, Ad-Dawlat al-Makkiyya bin Madat al-Ghaybiyya, this is a phenomenal book which he wrote on the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is reported that he wrote this book in 6.5 hours under the request of ulama from Makkah Sharif, who asked him 5 questions regarding the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he spent 1.5 hours proofreading that work. He mentions that the difference between the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is important for us to know, because if somebody accuses us of saying that the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is equivalent to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to have an answer. If you do not have an answer, then you will be in doubt. And I would also like to add that the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they mentioned that in aqidah, there is no taqleed. So you know, in fiqh, we do taqleed, you follow a madhab. You can follow the madhab of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, follow the madhab of Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Shafi'i, Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullah. You're allowed to blind follow them. But in aqidah, you cannot blind follow. You have to have the correct aqidah, and you have to know the adilla, the evidences behind why you believe in the aqidah. At least one evidence for each aqidah. And if an individual has all of the correct aqaid, he has all of the correct beliefs, but he doesn't have knowledge of any of the evidences, he will be sinful. So we have to lift ourselves of this burden of responsibility by learning some of the evidences which pertain to our beliefs. Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions the differences between the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before that, let's define what shirk is. What is shirk? Shirk is to equate or to hold an individual or something or a being superior to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of three things: his dhat, his divine entity, his sifat, his divine attributes, and his af'al, his divine actions. If somebody does not equate Allah, any of creation, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any of these things, he cannot be deemed a mushrik. And Allah Hazrat brings a list of differences between the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentions, ilm Allahi dhatiyun wa ilm al-khalqi ata'iyun. That the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dhati. This means that it is personal, it is not granted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always had this knowledge with himself. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge is ata'i. It has been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. علم الله واجب لذاته وعلم الخلق ممكن له. That the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wajib, meaning it has to exist. There is no possibility of the knowledge of Allah not existing or having come into creation or going out of creation. However, the ilm of the creation is mumkin, is possible, is not something which has always been necessary to exist. Rather, it is something which is possible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought into existence. So the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been brought into existence. He says, ilm Allahi azaliyun sarmadiyun qadimun haqiqiyun wa ilm al-khalqi hadithun li'anna al-khalqa kullahu hadithun. وَالصِّفَةُ لَا تَتَقَدَّمُ الْمَوْصُوفِ. I will be mentioning a lot of Arabic. That's not for any of you to worry about. It's just so I can actually get into the flow of speaking, inshallah. The knowledge of Allah is azali, sanmadi, qadim, hakiki. It is pre-eternal. It has no beginning and is real. And the ilm of the creation, the knowledge of creation is hadith. It has a beginning. Because all of creation has a beginning. And ilm is an attribute of creation. And the attributes of creation have to have a beginning because the creation also had a beginning. علم الخلق غير مخلوق وعلم علم الله معاذ الله علم الله غير مخلوق وعلم الخلق مخلوق. That the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is غير مخلوق, it is not created, and the ilm of مخلوق, the creation is created. He says, علم الله غير مقدور وعلم الخلق مقدور مقهور. That the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not مقدور, meaning it is not under the قدرہ of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not subject to change, it is not subject to being brought in and out of existence. But the ilm of the creation is subject to the قدرہ of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala brings it into existence, He takes it out of existence. He decreases it for some, he raises it for others. علم الله واجب البقاء وعلم الخلق جائز الفناء. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge must remain always, eternally. But the knowledge of creation can come to an end. Like we will all end on, you know, when the trumpet is blown, so our knowledge will also end with us. So, and then last he mentions, عِلْمَ اللَّهِ مُمْتَنِعُ التَّغَيُّرُ وَعِلْمَ الْخَلْقِ مُمْكِنُ التَّبَدُّلُ. That the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot change. Because Allah has infinite knowledge. So there's no increase or decrease in that. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge could change, then that would indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created. And then, you know, that's clearly against our aqaid. And the knowledge of creation is mumkin al-tabaddul, it can change, it can increase. And even with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to increase his knowledge. So this is the difference between the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu has explained. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, He mentions, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. That those who believe in the unseen. Now, this is of course referring to believers, that those who believe in the unseen. Now, Allah Hazrat also mentions that an individual, how can he believe in the unseen if he does not have any knowledge of the unseen? And of course, any knowledge of the unseen which the Ummah has, it is through the ata' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the teaching, through the ta'aleem, through the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Hazrat mentions that the belief in Allah, the belief in the angels, the belief in the books, the belief in Qiyamah, the belief in heaven, the belief in hell, this is all matters of the unseen. But every single Muslim believes in these matters of the unseen, don't they? So how can a Muslim be a Muslim without knowing about these matters? Can a Muslim say, I'm a Muslim, but I don't know about Allah, but I don't know that angels exist, but I don't know about hellfire or heaven, or I don't know about Qiyamah? No, the person cannot be a Muslim because he doesn't have a clue about the fundamentals of Islam. So the fact that he knows about these fundamentals of Islam, which were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam from the unseen, and taught to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, means that the ummati has knowledge of the unseen via the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if the ummati has knowledge of the unseen, then how can it be the case that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, the greatest of all creation, the most knowledgeable of all creation, doesn't have knowledge of the unseen? It's a complete absurd fallacy and it does not make any sense. Now, why is ilm al-ghayb important for us today to believe in? Aside from the fact that it is our fundamental aqidah, why is it so important that we hold on to this belief of ilm al-ghayb? Why is it so important to us that we hold on to this belief, especially today? The reason being is because if you look at the world today, the state of the world today, the amount of advancement which the world has gone through. If you look in the past 200 years, the amount of scientific advancement the world has gone through in terms of biology, in terms of chemistry, in terms of physics, psychology, sociology. If you look at the world in terms of media, how much it has advanced. In terms of mass production, the world, the way as it has advanced. It can be argued that the moment in time which we are living in is one of the moments in history where one of the moments where the most changes are taking place in the world, where things are advancing so quickly, where every single day there is something new, there is something, a new phenomenon, something which you haven't heard of before. And in this type of world, what happens is that people begin to feel like they are superior to those who came in the past, because they have so much knowledge, so much information at their disposal. So they feel like the people in the past, they didn't know so much. They didn't have that much knowledge. They may have been backwards. They may have not known certain things. But we have so much knowledge to our disposal. We have so much information at our disposal. You know, first it was the TV and then news. And now we have phones. We can access anything from across the world. Now you even have AI. You have artificial intelligence, which will put together answers for you regarding so many different things. So the world is moving forward so much in terms of information, in terms of knowledge, and sometimes, many a times, things which are incorrect as well. And people generally look down. Non-Muslims, some of them will have this attitude that they look down upon the people from the past. That people in the past didn't know so many things. They were ignorant. They only knew a little things. They just had a small circle of people. They didn't know too many things. They didn't have access to much information. And this idea, unfortunately, some people will extend to the Anbiya alayhim salam, and they will extend to Deen Islam, and they will say that, you know, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam didn't know the things we know today. They will say that ma'adallah, the Quran is a flawed book and it doesn't contain information of things which we know of today. They will make it out like they have more access to knowledge now than the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam did, than the Muslims did, than the Anbiya alayhi wasallam did, and they will try and project a view that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ma'adallah backwards because of a lack of information, because of being ma'adallah stuck in old traditions and old ways. Or they will claim to be Muslim, but then they will begin to abandon the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's a new phenomenon, Quranists, people who claim to believe in the Quran only. They say, we only believe in the Quran, we don't need the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such people are not Muslims. But they would claim that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are restricted to just his era, to just his lifetime. They're not needed anymore. But this attitude can only come from an individual who does not understand the maqam of the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will only come from an individual who does not believe that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alimu ma kana wa ma yakun, that he is the knower of everything that has occurred from the beginning of creation up until yawmul qiyamah. Because when you establish this fact, this belief that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alimu ma kana wa ma yakun, the knower of everything that has been and will be, then you do not have this doubt in your mind that does the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fit our era today. You do not have this doubt that does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words have relevance to what we do today. You do not have this doubt that does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words have an impact on what we do today. Should they govern what we do today? Should they be the absolute hallmark and standard for what we do today? You will not have any of these doubts. But if you are weak in your knowledge regarding ilm al-ghayb, if you think Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have ilm, if you are weak regarding your belief about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wus'atul ilm, then you will be in doubt about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the application of his life and his sunnah in your life, and you would be easily be able to be influenced by other people, by other ideologies, and it will be easy for somebody to convince you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know as much as you think he knows, and ma'adallah, this would be detrimental to our iman. So, ilm al-ghayb is such a topic which is of utmost importance for us to understand, because it is our fundamental aqidah, and to protect us from certain ideologies today which are direct attacks on the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many verses in the Quran regarding the knowledge of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mentioned at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا إلا من ارتضى من الرسول that the Prophet sallallahu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding himself, he is the knower of all the unseen. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. So he does not bestow from his knowledge of the unseen upon anyone except whoever he wills, إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولِ, except whoever he wills from the messengers. This is a clear-cut verse. If somebody says the prophets don't have knowledge of the unseen, he's doing inkar, he's rejecting these verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he mentions the exception to who does have knowledge of the unseen. And so from this verse and other verses, it is established the fundamental aqidah is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had knowledge of the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions as well, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضُّ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he taught you مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ, that which you did not know. وَكَانَ فَضُّ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And the blessing of Allah upon you is great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. The most merciful taught the Quran, he created insan, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, and he taught him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-bayan, which is in reference to the Quran al-Kareem. Subhanallah. So these are some of the ayat which show us the knowledge of the unseen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being proven from the Quran. What actually is the knowledge of the unseen? Because we're using this term, but we haven't defined it. So the unseen, knowledge of the unseen is anything which is not apparent to the human senses and is unperceivable by reason, and it is of two kinds. So something which we cannot comprehend from our senses, and we cannot come to that conclusion just by reason. So for example, belief in angels. If there was no revealed text, we would not be able to conclude in our mind that angels exist. If there was no revealed text, we would not be able to conclude in our mind that there is a paradise, or that there is a hellfire, or that there is a Yawm al-Qiyamah, etc. So this is not something which you deduce from just the intellect. This is something which requires revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has two kinds. One which there is no evidence for, so this is unseen knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, and He has not revealed to anyone, and we don't know about this. And the other is the type where there is evidence, and this is what has been revealed to the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, and what they have transmitted to us, and that is the knowledge of the unseen which we receive from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, I was going to mention some logical examples for why it makes sense to believe in the ilm al-ghayb of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran elsewhere that verily with Allah is knowledge of the hour. So there's five things which are mentioned here. Verily with Allah is knowledge of the hour. He sends down rain and knows that which is in the wombs. No soul knows what it will earn tomorrow. And no soul knows in what land it will die. Verily Allah is the all-knowing, the all-aware. Now in this verse there are five matters which are mentioned. The knowledge of the hour, the knowledge of rain being sent down, the knowledge of what is in the wombs, so when a woman is carrying, when she is pregnant, then what is in the womb, knowledge of what an individual will earn tomorrow, and knowledge of what land a soul shall die in. Now, these are five matters which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He Himself alone knows. Now, because of this, there's ikhtilaf amongst the ulama, that did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receive the knowledge of these five things, or did he not receive the knowledge of these five things? Both positions are valid positions within Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Some of our ulama gave tarjih, gave preference to the position that he did not receive this knowledge. Some of our ulama gave tarjih, preference to the position that he did receive this knowledge. However, according to the tahqiq of Ala Hazrat and many other great muhaddithin, the correct position is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of this verse did not have this knowledge, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that only he possesses this knowledge. But later on in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed this knowledge upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are many ahadith to prove this. Inshallah, we will have a look at some of them. But from a logical perspective, we have today weather forecasts. where quite accurately you can predict whether it's going to rain, what the weather is going to be like. It is not ilm yaqini, there's no certainty. Ilm yaqini is attained by wahi, by revelation, which is given only to the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. But we can quite accurately predict rainfall, weather, what is it going to be like. And this is just through human advancement in calculations and studies. So if that can be the state of normal people, then why can it not be the case that the Prophet ﷺ via revelation would know when it's going to rain, what the weather is going to be like? The knowledge which is received by wahi is far greater than knowledge which is attained by calculations, by estimations, and by research. Knowledge of what is in the wombs. Nowadays you have CT scans, you know. Pretty much everyone does this, you know. When a woman is bearing a child, she will go to the hospital, they will see, they will have a scan, they'll have a checkup on the child. They'll find out even what gender the child is, so they know what's in the womb. Now, this is something which is through the advancement of technology. But so why can't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's the most knowledgeable, why would he not have knowledge of something like this? And even today, the advancement of the field of medicine has gone so far, and we are so aware of illnesses today, that if somebody were to have a terminal illness and he's about to die, the doctors can give you an approximation of when he's going to die. Of course, again, this is not something yakini, but they can tell you the person may die in a day, or he may have 2 days left to live, he may have a week to live. If a doctor can tell you this with some level of accuracy, then why would it be the case that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam via revelation could not tell you this? Why would it be shirk for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be able to inform you of what's in the womb, to inform you of the weather, to inform you of who is going to die and where he's going to die? How on earth can that be shirk if this knowledge can be attained by a doctor, by a weather forecast, and this is done by research, and this is not considered shirk by anybody? Some of the narrations pertaining to the wasa of the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam, he was praying. He sat down and he began to smile. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down and he began to smile until the prayer of Dhuhr. Until he prayed Dhuhr, and then he prayed Asr, and then he prayed Maghrib, and then he prayed Isha. Kullu dhalika la yatakallam. Throughout all of that time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not speak. Thumma qama ila ahlihi. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up to the people. Fasa'alahu Abu Bakr. Then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu asked him a question. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Faqala na'am. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. Urida alayya ma huwa ka'inun min amri dunya wa amri al-akhirah. That all of that which has occurred in terms of the affairs of the dunya and in terms of the affairs of the akhirah have been presented to me. So during that time, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting quietly amongst the Sahaba and he was smiling. And throughout the salah from Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Sahaba sat quietly. Look at the adab of the Sahaba, that they sat for that whole duration quietly in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq asked him about this occurrence. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that what knowledge he has been bestowed with. Knowledge of everything that has occurred in the dunya and everything that will occur in the akhirah. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, قَامَ فِينَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَقَامًا فَأَخْبَرَنَا عَنْ بَدْءِ الْخَلْقِ حَتَّى دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنَازِلَهُمْ وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ مَنَازِلَهُمْ حَفِظَ ذَلِكَ مَنْ حَفِظَهُ وَنَسِيَهُ مَنْ نَسِيَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood amongst us in a particular place, and he informed us about the beginning of creation until to the extent of who will enter paradise in their respectful places and who will enter Jahannam in their positions. فَحَفِظَ ذَلِكَ مَنْ حَفِظَهُ. And whoever memorized that had memorized that, and whoever had forgotten it had forgotten it. And it is mentioned in another hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قَامَ فِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَقَامًا مَا تَرَكَ شَيْئًا يَكُونُ فِي مَقَامِهِ ذَلِكَ إِلَى قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا حَدَّثَ بِهِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood amongst us, and he did not leave a single thing behind up until the last hour, until the hour before the Day of Judgment. He did not leave a single thing behind. He mentioned all of it. حَفِظَهُ مَنْ حَفِظَهُ وَنَسْيَهُ مَنْ نَسْيَهُ. Similar to the previous narration, that whoever memorized it had memorized it. قَدْ عَلِمَهُ أَصْحَابِ هَؤُلَاءِ. And these companions memorized this. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَكُونُ مِنْهُ الشَّيْءُ قَدْ نَسَيْتُهُ. And from amongst it are things which I had forgotten, the companion mentions. فَأَرَاهُ فَأَذْكُرُهُ. Then I remember, then I reflect on it and I remember it. كَمَا يَذْكُرُ الرَّجُلُ وَجْهَ الرَّجُلِ إِذَا غَابَ عَنْهُ ثُمَّ إِذَا رَآهُ عَرَفَهُ. Just like when you know the face of a person, but then he leaves, you don't have the face of the person in your mind. But once you see him, you remember, oh, this is that person. Likewise, the knowledge that the Sahaba received regarding creation, regarding the beginning of creation up until the last hour was such, and in such a manner they received it from the Prophet ﷺ, that it was stored in their mind. So whenever they would reflect on it, it would come back to them, just like looking at an individual and remembering who they are. Subhanallah. And in another hadith, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-fajr fa sa'ida al-minbara fa khatabana hatta hadarat adh-dhuhr fa nazala fa salla thumma sa'ida al-minbara fa khatabana hatta hadarat al-'asr thumma nazala fa salla thumma sa'ida al-minbara fa khatabana hatta ghadabat ash-shams fa akhbarana bima kana wa bima huwa ka'inun fa'alamuna ahfazuna. Subhanallah, is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led us in prayer, and then he mounted the minbar, and then he addressed us until Salatul Dhuhr. Then he descended and he prayed. Then he addressed us. Then he mounted the minbar again and he addressed us until Salatul Asr. Then he descended and then he prayed, and so on and so forth, up until Salat, until the sun had descended, descended, so Salatul Maghrib. And then he says, فَأَخْبَرَنَا بِمَا كَانَا. He informed us of whatever happened. وَبِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ. And whatever will be. فَأَعْلَمُنَا أَحْفَظُنَا. So I learned it and I memorized it. So subhanAllah, this knowledge was not just in the this knowledge of what happened, مَا كَانَا وَمَا يَكُونَ. Whatever happened and whatever will happen, this was not only in the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is in the knowledge of the Sahaba. So can you imagine what is the knowledge of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The knowledge of the Sahabi could not be possibly compared to the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had got up upon the minbar and he said to the people, "Saluni, la tasaluni an shayin illa bayyantuhu lakum." Ask me. Unrestrictedly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ask me. لا تسألوني عن شيء إلا بينته لكم. You will not ask me anything except that I will be able to explain it to you. إلى أن قال فأنشأ رجل من المسجد كان يلاحى فيدعى لغير أبيه فقال يا نبي الله من أبي قال أبوك حذافة. So in simple terms, there was an individual who came into the masjid and his lineage was something which was doubtful amongst the people. People did not know who his father was. This is something which is up for debate. So he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is my father? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abuka Hudhafa, that your father is a man called Hudhafa. Now, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have knowledge of the unseen, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have the wus'atul ilm, the vastness of knowledge which we claim that he had, then would he be able to so confidently stand in front of the crowd, the majma of the Sahaba, and say, ask me anything? If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know, then why would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, ask me anything? Because then there would be a possibility that somebody may ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something, and perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't know. But there was not this worry, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was confident in the knowledge which he was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via revelation. And subhanallah, Imam Bukhari mentions in a similar narration, mentions سُئِلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ كَرِهَهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked regarding things which he disliked. فَلَمَّا أُكْثِرَ عَلَيْهَا غَضِبَ. So when the questions were piling up, when there were so many, then he became angry. ثُمَّ قَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. Then he said to the people, سَلُونِي عَمَّا شِئْتُمْ. Ask me whatever you like. This wording is even more explicit. In the previous hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Saluni, ask me." In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Saluni amma shi'tum, ask me whatever you like." فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ. Then a man said, "مَنْ أَبِي. Who is my father?" قَالَ أَبُوكَ حُذَافَةٌ. Your father is Hudhafa. فَقَامَ آخَرُ Then another person stood up. فَقَالَ مَنْ أَبِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Who is my father, O Messenger of Allah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَبُوكَ سَالِمٌ مَوْلَى شَيْبَ That your father is Salim, the freed slave of Shayba. Now subhanAllah, this is a narration from Imam Bukhari. And many people try to use Imam Bukhari to justify the wrong aqidah. But you can see that Imam Bukhari, you can see his ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would not narrate this hadith if he believed it to be shirk, to believe in the knowledge of the unseen. This is why our ulama say, Jo be ishq Muhammad parta hai Bukhari, aata hai Bukhari nahi, aata hai Bukhari. That whoever reads Imam Bukhari without ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he may get a fever, but he will never ever ever be able to understand Imam Bukhari. Because Imam Bukhari's words, the words which he penned, the ahadith which he penned in relation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were all centered around the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, it is narrated that when he would compile his sahih, he would take a ghusl before he would actually start writing down the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was his adab for the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Time is short, but I will inshallah just, I have many narrations which I would like to mention, but I'll just mention a few more things inshallah and then end it there. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ رَفَعَ لِيَ الدُّنْيَا فَأَنَا أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهَا وَإِلَى مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ فِيهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ كَأَنَّمَا أَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ كَفِّي هَذِهِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised for me the dunya. So I look into the dunya and into whatever happened and whatever will happen until the day of judgment just as I look into this palm of mine. Subhanallah. When you look into the palm, everyone knows what the palm of the hand looks like. There's no obscurity, there's no vagueness. That is how clear everything was from the beginning of creation up until the day of judgment. What will happen, what has happened for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's clear as the palm of his hand. Subhanallah. And you find as well that the Sahaba in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they displayed this aqidah. They displayed this love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this belief in the knowledge of the unseen as well. In one couplet, there's a Sahabi who said, نَبِيٌّ يَرَى مَا لَا يَرَى النَّاسُ حَوْلَهُ وَيَتْلُو كِتَابَ اللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ مَشْهَدٍ فَإِنْ قَالَ فِي يَوْمٍ مَقَالَةَ غَائِبٍ فَتَصْدِيقُهَا فِي دَحْوَةِ الْيَوْمِ أَوْ غَدِي Subhanallah. In the second half of this couplet, the Sahabi Rasul mentions, what does he mention? He mentions that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says regarding any particular day, something of the unseen will occur. فَتَصْدِيقُهَا then we affirm it. فِي دَحْوَةِ الْيَوْمِ أَوْ غَدِي whether it's about the morning of that day or whether it's about tomorrow. Subhanallah. And in another narration, it is mentioned that a Sahabi said in front of the Prophet, and that actually was by Sayyidina Hassan ibn Thabit, and everyone is familiar with Sayyidina Hassan ibn Thabit, the poet who said regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّعًا مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي My eye has never seen anyone as beautiful as you. وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ And as beautiful as you, no woman has ever given birth to. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّعًا مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ You have been created free from any defect. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ As if you were created the way you desire to be created. This is Hassan ibn Thabit, and now that was Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioning in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam his belief regarding the knowledge of the unseen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in another narration, Sayyidina Sawad ibn Qarib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another Sahabi mentions in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, فَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا رَبَّ غَيْرُهُ That I testify that there is no God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no Lord other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّكَ مَأْمُونٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ غَائِبٍ And that you are the one who is entrusted with all of the unseen. Now, of course, all of the unseen does not literally mean all of the unseen the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But this means all of the unseen in terms of whatever has happened up until whatever will happen until the day of judgment. So, subhanAllah, this is a topic which you can never possibly do justice to in half an hour or 40 minutes or any sifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam you can never do justice to in such a short amount of time. But this gives us a bit of an idea about the wus'ah, the vastness of the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the importance of believing in his knowledge. And I apologize for going slightly over time. Forgive me. وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين جزاكم الله خيرا
ما شاء الله We had very beautiful bayan about the unseen, the knowledge of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. The Sayyidi Sarkari Ala Hazrat said, Aur koi gayb kya? Tum se neha ho bhala. Ya Rasulullah, Aur koi gayb kya? Tum se neha ho bhala. Jab na khuda hi chupa, tum pe karoro durur. Jab khuda hi nahi chupa, to isse badhkar aur kya ho sakta hai? This a lot of the hadith, a lot of the verse of the Holy Quran, the proof, the ilm al ghaib, Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We had, mashallah, very beautiful bayan about from Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rashidi sahab ki bala, mashallah. There is one hadith in Bukhari Sharif hadith. The hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying something, sahabi karam sitting like you are sitting here. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between the talk, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask what you want. Ask Mashitu Saltumuni, what you want, ask me. The Sahaba Kiram asked, the one the person stand up, stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is the final destination? What is my final station in, after the dying? Yani after marne ke baad mein mera final destination kya hoga? I'll be Jannah or Jahannam. The Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam look him up down, ki you are going to Jahannam. Say, you are going to Jahannam. In the Bukhari Sharif, the hadith in the Bukhari Sharif, in the Hashia, there is written, because Fahuwa Munafiq, he was the Munafiq. He was the Munafiq. He was reading behind the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam namaz. He was keeping the fast. But when he asked, the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will go to hell, Jahannam, because of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows what is inside the heart. Agar humse koi puche namaz padhne wala to bole nahi mashallah he is mu'min he will go to jannah but he ask to iska kya matlab hai ki nabi kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam dilon ki baaton ko jante hain jo dil mein ho jab wo jaan jaye to har cheez ko jante hain allah farmata hua allamahul bayan din ta tafsir bayan mufassirin kiram said whatever will happen everything nabi kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows alhamdulillah تو نبی کریم ہماری خوش قسمتی ہم اس نبی کے غلام ہے جو نبی کو اللہ تبارک و تعالی نبی کا معنی ہی ہوتا ہے تمام چیزوں کو جاننے والا سب سے پہلی چیز کچھ کرنا ہی نہیں واٹ از دا میننگ آف دا نبی دا واز ہو نو ایوری تھنگ تو نبی کا معنی ہی ہے کہ جو غیب کی باتیں جانے تو اس پہ سوال کرنے کا کوئی سوال ہی نہیں اٹھتا ہے خیر صلاۃ السلام کے لیے
تاجدار حرم اے شہ شاہدی تم پہ ہر دم کروڑوں درود و سلام ہو نگاہ کرم ہم پہ سلطان دی تم پہ ہر دم کروڑوں درود و سلام تم پہ ہر دم کروڑوں درود و سلام تیری یادوں سے معمور سینہ رہے تیری یادوں سے معمور سینہ رہے لب پہ ہر دم مدینہ مدینہ رہے بس میں دیوان بن جاؤں سلطان دی تم پہ ہر دم کروڑوں درود و سلام دور رہ کر ندم ٹوٹ جائے کہیں دور رہ کر ندم ٹوٹ جائے کہیں کاش طیبہ میں میرے ماہ مبین دفن ہونے کو مل جائے دونوں غز زمین دفن ہونے کو مل جائے دو غز زمین تم پہ ہر دم کرو رو درو دو سلام تم پہ ہر دم کرو رو درو دو سلام
آج کی نیاز ہمارے جناب حاجی احمد سلیمان قدوسی صاحب کی طرف سے ہیں اور ہمارے حاجی مشتاق صاحب ٹوپی والے کی طرف سے ہیں. دعا کر اللہ تبارک خواجہ خواجہ صاحب کی طرف سے. اللہم آمین. اللہم صلی علی سیدنا مولانا محمد وعلی علی سیدنا مولانا محمد وبارک وسلم. صلاۃ و سلام علیک سیدی یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحم الراحمین ہماری اس محفل کو قبول فرما. بیان کرنے میں جو کسی قسم کمی کوتاہی غلطی ہو تو نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے واسطے سے معاف فرما. اور جو نیازائے محبت ہمارے حاجی احمد سلیمان صاحب حاجی مشتاق ٹوپی والے خواجہ صاحب کی طرف سے لائے گئے تبارک و تعالیٰ اسے قبول فرما. اپنے شایان شان اس کا جو ثواب تو نے ہم گنہگاروں کو عطا کیا ان تمام ثوابوں کو سب سے پہلے نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی بارگاہ بکسپ نام میں پیش کرتے ہیں. اللہ اسے قبول و منظور فرما. ان کے وسیلے جلیس کا ثواب تمام انبیاء کرام تمام صحابہ کرام تابعین تبع تابعین دنیا کے تمام اولیاء کرام تمام علماء کرام تمام مسلمین مسلمات مؤمنین مؤمنات یہاں پہ جو لوگ حاضر ان کے مرحومین مغفورین حاجی سلیمان صاحب ٹوپی والے اور جو ہمارے خواہش صاحب کے جو بھی مرحومین مغفورین تمام کے ارواحوں کو پیش کرتے ہیں اللہ اسے قبول و منظور فرما. تمام مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما جنت الفردوس میں اعلیٰ مقام عطا فرما. یا اللہ اس مبارک گھڑی کے صدقے طفیل مبارک مہینے صدقے طفیل میلاد النبی کے صدقے طفیل یا اللہ ہم تمام کی تمام جائز دعاؤں کو قبول فرما تمام کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما آسانی عطا فرما روزی روزگار میں برکت عطا فرما حاسدین کے حسد سے محفوظ فرما ظالموں کے ظلم سے محفوظ فرما شریروں کے شرارتوں سے حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ تمام مریضوں کو صحتیابی نصیب عطا فرما بالخصوص حاجی مشتاق صاحب ٹوپی والے کے صاحبزادے حاجی مشتاق بخاری صاحب حاجی احمد سلیمان قدوسی صاحب ان کے صاحبزادے مشتاق تمام کو صحت تندرستی عطا فرما صحت کامل و عاجل عطا فرما. یا اللہ یا رحمین جن لوگوں نے بھی اس نیاز میں لنگر شریف میں حصہ لیا لیں گے تمام کو جزائے خیر عطا فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں مانگنا نہیں آتا ہم نے جو مانگا اسے دے دے اور جو مانگنے سے اگر اسے تو علیم و خبیر تو دلوں کی بھید کو جانتا ہے تمام کی جائز دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. ہم تمام کو عزت وقار کے ماحول میں زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق رفیق عطا فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين. وحق لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا سيدي يا حبيب الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
Hayya ala salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت سيدنا محمد الوسيلة والفضيلة والدرجة الرفيعة وبأس مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته وارزقنا شفاعته يوم القيامة إنك لا تكلف الميعاد برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.